one who prays have the world at their disposal. Because God does not move unless we pray. You know, the scripture in the book of Psalms says that the heavens, even the heavens of heavens, is the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. And so many times, you know, we ask the Lord, Lord, what's happening to our earth? What's going on with our country? And God says, I don't know what you guys are doing. You're doing a bad job in running it. Because the Lord has asked the church the authority and the power. And so anyway, today we're going to be continuing to talk about prayer. The Lord has been putting that in my heart. I asked Derek, can I talk about prayer? Because I believe that a lot of our breakthrough, a lot of the answer that God wants to give us happens on our knees. And today we're going to continue to talk about prayer is invading the supernatural. And I think that we need to understand today, when we understand about prayer, our ears are open. You know, everybody is talking about one world. Well, I want to give warning to all of us who are praying and to all of us who are children of the King, that there is a warning that the enemy has already unleashed to the world. Because just talking about one world means one world government, means one world religion, one world generic name of God. And that is a very good design that the enemy is doing to take away the name of Jesus. This is very important. Because somewhere written in Mount Hughes Church that says, God has no son. When you and I do not have that name, the name that has been given, there's no other name given on heaven and earth, but a man shall be saved. The name that brings you and me access to the presence of the Father. When that name is no longer there, there is no use for you and me praying. Because that is our access, that is our power, that is our anointing, and that is our birthright. And for us to understand this today, we should all be on our knees today. Because there is an onslaught of the enemy to remove the name of Jesus in the next generation and the generation to come. My brothers, you know, I always say my brothers listening to this tape, we have one. And my sisters, I want you to understand this. As prayer warriors, the people who understand prayer, we are right now being shaken to the core of the foundation of prayer. The disciples, the book of Acts says, we will believe the Lord, the order of the Lord, and the order of the government. Because the name of Jesus, that's why you and I can pray. The mention of that name, every sickness, every disease, every demon is going to bow. The power of that name. Because he is the amen. He is the prophetic anointing that comes out of your mouth. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation that when you and I talk about Jesus, that this book is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Every time we speak the word, we're setting into motion an anointing of prophecy. So when every time we pray in Jesus' name, we are setting into motion a prophetic message for this generation, for the next generation, for our future, and for the next. That is very important, that we will never again take prayer for granted, because that name gave us access. So anyway, we are going to go to that. Prayer is invading the supernatural. It is a prayer that goes beyond it goes beyond orbit. It is going to defy the gravity of the earth. It's going to break the sound barrier. I'm telling you, when you pray, you are in a different atmosphere. You are in the supernatural. That is where you are going to see that faith comes. That's when faith comes in. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is the prayer, is an invisible access. It's an open portal. It connects the seen and the unseen. It connects what you hope for, and it brings into the evidence of the now. That's why it says faith now, faith is. I think the Lord is going to bring us, Valley Community Church women, to understanding of the real on-time, on-point timetable of the Lord. When we pray, we are going to see, yes, he's not healed yet, but in the name of Jesus, we see the unseen. It's already done. The beginning from the end, that is how God moves. Did you know that? He already sees you complete, hallelujah, delivered, awesome, beautiful, cleansed, I mean, victorious, because he always starts from the end to the beginning. Do you, you're right? That's why, that's what prayer is. That's why prayer is so exciting. That's why it's a journey, you know. I already see my nieces and nephews. I already see the people that I'm praying for. It is already done. And I have this hope inside of me that the evidence of things not seen is going to happen now in this generation. And so when you see them acting up, you're going to say, but I have inside information. I went to the Father. Hallelujah. Do you know that? When you have inside information, you always have a grin in your face. I say, what are you up to? I say, because I know something you don't know. Right? So it is something that we are going to journey together, because we have to understand that prayer connects the material and the spiritual world convergence. It is very important that your spirit or your soul, yes, your soul receives ideas, but your spirit receives revelation. That revelation, you get it in prayer. And revelation, when you receive it in prayer, hello, it's done. I'm telling you, you can go back to your house and everything is in chaos, but you have a singing in your spirit, it is done. When you see your brother still drinking, hallelujah, in your spirit, you say it is done. Because God said, you see, in your marriage, you're going to see it's still upside down, but in your spirit, you're going to say it is done, because you have now tapped into the unseen. The real world, you see, you know what is the real world? Is the things unseen, because this world that you see is going to pass away. That's what the Bible says. Everything is being held by the word of God. The whole creation is being held by the word of God. It informs the realm of the spirit. I love this. Our consent. When we go to court in prayer, we are going to say, Your Honor, I object. I overrule. Your Honor, you see, that's why we need to show up in court. Do you know why trials, that's why we have trials? Because it has dates. And in the natural world, when you don't go to your trial date, you lose the case. And a lot of God's people are losing the case because they do not show up. When you show up, you're going to say, I overrule, Father. You promised me in your word, it is written, that salvation will come to my whole household. I'm not going to lose my nephew. I'm not going to lose my cousins. And my claim to the family tree is so deep, even to the fourth and the fifth generation. Because God showed me the power of authority that God has given us in prayer. So this is important. It informs the spirit realm. Because the Bible says in the book of Matthew 18:19, it says, Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make symphony together about whatever, anything and everything. Remember, praying is a symphony. That's why when we pray, we are not having a contest. That's why when I lead a prayer, I insist that everybody sings together. We are praying for this. We're not going to go praying over this. Somebody's going to be crying over there. Somebody's going to be shouting over there. It's a symphony. Because God is not moved by emotion. God is moved by his word. And so our prayers become shorter, right? Because now we are bullseye. We can still go home and wash dishes and not lose our anointing. You know, listen to me. Sometimes I watch this, all this prayer meeting all over long. Yes, it's, we go through that. We need to go through that because we're pulling down stronghold. But sometimes we make the prayer long because somebody is telling a story, like a newscaster, that God already knows. God already knows that, you know, your husband did this. God already knows that your daughter did this. God says, I already know that. I want you to come before the court and speak the language of the court. You guys, so that's why we need to fall in love with the word. I am telling you, the word will not return void. God says, when you harmonize together, when you symphonize together, whatever, anything and everything that you ask, it will come to pass and be done by my Father in heaven. That is guaranteed. Take it to the bank. That is amazing. And then, you know, in the classic edition, it says, whatever you refuse to be permitted, woo, on earth, you go to court I refuse. I do not give permission for the enemy to harass my family. I do not give permission to my family to intensify cancer in every generation to generation. I do not permit the enemy to ruin this country in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Because divine jurisprudence, the judicial procedure of the kingdom operation, you know what it is? Those are legal terms. And we need to understand that when we are called to prayer, we have a legal standing. Now, I want to just shift a little bit. When we go to court, we need to understand as priests to the Lord, we're going to intensify understanding our role as a royal priesthood. But when you go to court, you need to understand that the priests of old, they always have a scapegoat, or they have a sacrifice that they lay their hands on the head of this sacrifice, and they transference. It's called the transference of the sins of Israel, because the sin has to be dealt with before the blessing can be poured. You understand that? That's why Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That when we are going to lay our hands and transference all our sins, all of those violation, all of those things that has happened to us and what we did to other people, we're going to put it upon him, that we are separating ourselves from that sin. That's why it's so hard to explain to people, oh, just forgive. No, this is I'm explaining to you. Forgiveness is the code to enter in. You understand me? Because the reason why we can enter in, because we are the forgiven. And because we are the forgiven, we don't have any other choice but release forgiveness, or we do not have access. I want that to sink in. Well, some of you this morning, tonight, you're going to be set free. All you have to understand is that sin is separated. You see, God isn't saying to you that, yes, I'm not going to tell you that it did not happen. I did not tell you that you may forget it. You know, no. God is saying, I just want you to be separated from the curse so I can bless you. That when you forgive this person, when you forgive yourself, you are setting aside this sin and you're going to pour it upon the Lamb. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all judgment unto me. To the last drop of God's wrath and anger towards sin is going to be poured unto me. So today, God is not mad with you, because he has been satisfied. The last drop of that wrath was put upon Jesus Christ. That's why we today can pray that God, we are believing for a blessing. Do you know why? You can be blessed today, 100-fold, pressed down, shaken together, and everything that has been missed in the past generation is going to happen today, because you understand that that is sin. But you see, God is not forgetting that sin. He forgives sinner, but he is going to address sin. You understand me? What has happened to you, yes, it's happened, and God says, but I will deal with that, but right now I will bless you. So I want you to separate yourself from the curse so I can bless you. You understand this? Because once we are going to walk as the forgiven, oh, we're going to receive the blessings of the Lord. There is no more opposition. The demonic forces cannot anymore overrule, because we overrule. He says, I am the blessed. I am the forgiven, I am not the cursed. So I am receiving the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Can you get, hallelujah, it's exciting. So the healing that you've been waiting for, the breakthrough that you've been waiting for, the daughter that needs to come home, the relationship that needs to be healed, it's done. So when we come before the Lord, we are now going to understand the Lord today. I am touching the supernatural. I pass the air. I go beyond the orbit. I am going to escape the gravitational pull of the earth. And I am going to break sound barrier, because I am speaking to my Father. And I am indeed have been given access and the right to decree and declare my future. Amen. This is so exciting, isn't it? We can stop right now and go home and hallelujah. This is awesome. So this is the work of faith. Because faith, guys, is a substance. See, faith is a substance. But faith is not only a substance, faith is now. Everybody say now. Yeah. Your breakthrough is not going to happen when you leave this place. Your breakthrough is going to happen now. That son you're praying for, that daughter you're praying for, that breakthrough that you've been praying for is going to happen now. If it doesn't happen now, then it's not faith. Now, you might not see it, hallelujah, but in the courtroom of heaven, it is done. When I prayed for my father, and the Lord showed me a vision of my father, he was a businessman, good-looking, Irish, Arab man, and, you know, he had a lifestyle that the Lord has already forgiven. I'm telling you something, and they told me that it is going to be hard for you to bring your father to the Lord. An expert. But I overruled that. You understand me? I saw my father when I praying in a vision that he came to the Lord. All the waters from heaven poured upon him, and all the mud was washed all over. And I had the manifestation of that vision came in reality when I walked him down the aisles of Angelus Temple when he accepted the Lord. I have 14 sisters and brothers, nieces and nephews, in-laws, and the Lord brought a revival that came to my home. Religious, you know, men and women, you know, don't do this, don't do that, but on our way to hell. The Lord came in a breeze of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm telling you something, we're going to start seeing revival in this church the way we've never seen it before. Because you know what? Your family alone is going to fill the church. Our family alone is going to overflow Valley Community Church. Your family alone. Your neighborhood alone. We're going to have 2 or 3 services. And some of you, whether you like it or not, you're going to be teaching because we need teachers. You understand? That's why you need to keep your scripture because you're going to need it. This is important. So without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The unseen world. When you are going to pray, you're touching the unseen world. You are touching the God who is a spirit, the God who is unseen. And then the Bible says that when you're going to know, understand faith, faith comes. Everybody says faith comes. It's not in your... faith comes. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So when you come to Bible study, when you come to when the pastor talks, receive the word. I'm telling you, receive the word. Honor the word. I love the word. Doesn't matter who's speaking, somebody with an accent that don't know how to speak English, doesn't matter. When the word is being released, we, you and I, are going to bow down to the word because it's the word that is going to set motion the breakthrough that you have. That's what we pray. Because if you pray with all emotions, hello, you're just praying. But when you pray the word, whoo, hallelujah. So, unclaimed treasure. So I'm speaking to you because this has been the last 3 slides that we missed the last time we met. And it says unclaimed treasures is very important for you to understand what is treasure. Treasure and things are 2 different things. When God says treasures, these are treasures that has eternal value. You understand? We have family today. We have generation today that needs to be claimed because the kinsman redeeming anointing is yours. You know what is a kinsman redeemer? Jesus Christ is a kinsman redeemer. He came before the court and says, I am going to claim them because nobody else did. You understand? So when we come before the court, we have nieces and nephews, aunties and uncles, we have all those, how many generations? Father, nobody is claiming them. I'm claiming them before the devil claims them. You know, in my prayer list, you could see I have 300, 400 lists of all my nieces and nephews on that list. And I sent it all to my nieces and nephews. And I asked them, I am making you responsible to cry for the next generation. Long after I'm gone, I want you to be a kinsman redeemer to claim your cousins. And we have been praying that each one of our family have somebody that is going to be an agreement with us. And you know, we have Bible study on Wednesdays. I have so many. And I just met in the air. You know, oh, hallelujah. You know, one of the things that you need to understand, when a divorce happens to your family, just because it doesn't happen to your immediate family, don't kill yourself. The enemy is trying to infiltrate your family tree. It probably be a cousin in the 3rd generation. God says, I'm giving you a warning. The enemy wants access to your generation. We need to come together and say, Lord, we overrule that this divorce is going to stop. It's not going to be carried on from generation to generation. You know, we have 2 of our nieces and nephews, 1 niece and 1 nephew that went through a divorce. And we came before the Lord. Lord, that's not going to be for the generation to generation. We overrule. And you know, last Wednesday, when we were praying as a family, there was a new voice. And it said, hi, auntie. It is the daughter of my nephew. that, you know, long before has already remarried, and, you know, and the mother took her away, and finally she's back. But we have been praying for her. Her name was always been in our list. And she was crying. Because you see, God promised you whatsoever things you ask, you can have. But things are just things. That's why we don't spend so much time in praying for things. You know, this has been my walk for 40 years. God says, Mila, let me take care of your things. And I want you to travail for souls for me. I want you to be violent for souls for me. Because things are just things. Houses you want, businesses you want, whatever you want, clothing on your back and food on your table is my responsibility. But I'm asking my bride, my church, you, to birth souls for me. And this is where we are. God is saying, I want you to come and claim your treasures. I want you to stand before the king, and you're going to say, I am the kinsman redeemer. I have the first, the right, the first to claim. And when you are going to do that, you're going to say, Lord, I am here to claim my generation. I asked the Lord when I first came to the Lord, I said, Lord, if you're taking me to the nations of the world, I want you to give me a good message. I want you to give me a good resume. And when I speak before the nations to Africa, you know, Africa is open now, Canada is open now, Europe is open now, but I'm not volunteering to preach. I'm good at prayer. Preaching, it's scary, I'm telling you. But, you know, when the Lord tells you to do it, you have to do it, right? But I'm telling you something. The Lord is putting in our heart today that I want you to preach the gospel all over the world. And I told the Lord, if you want me to preach the gospel, then give me a good resume. I'm not going to tell them that you can save Africa and you cannot save my Jerusalem. That I can go to the nations of the world and I cannot believe for my family in home and my nieces and nephews to be free. Then I tell you that if I'm going to go to the laborers, I want you to send laborers in their field too. And let me tell you a story. I have a niece that passed away when I do international travel, you know, before this COVID. And she had a break, lunch break, and she choked at lunchtime, and she was not revived. And I was I don't know what nation it was, and I was crying before the Lord because I knew she had a problem with her mom. You know, there was a crisis that happened, you know, teenagers. And so one of the cousins, you know, our family just helped each other, and so she was with them. And I was crying before the Lord, Lord, what is this? This is not part of our agreement. I'm not sure where she is right now. She has backslidden or whatever. I said, I want you. You're responsible for this. And you know what? When I went home, a week after I went home, I received, and it's amazing, that card was mailed to me. It was a decision card of rededicating her life. Then the Lord told me, I'm doing my job. You continue to do yours. I am saying this to us because I believe the revival that's going to come in this church is because we have women in this church that's going to say, yes, Lord, use me. I am going to intercede for you, and I am going to travail for souls for you, and I am going to be a kinsman redeemer to claim the souls. And so God is saying to us, you know, I want to just share this. You know, a lot of our workers, a lot of the leaders of the church, sometimes they have a problem, you know, raising their kids. And most of the time, sometimes it's the children that's being attacked, you know, right? Did you notice that people who are really, that's why a lot of people, I don't want to be serving because my children is going to be compromised, you know, because it's happening. You know why? Because the church is not praying for the children. I always tell this, you're using your pastor's time, you're using all their time, you're always having counseling, you're always having an emergency, and who is taking care of the children? If you are taking away the time of your pastor, you need to invest in praying that the children and their grandchildren are going to be safe and protected by the Lord. This is the job of the church. And the Lord told me one day, I said, Lord, what's happening? He says, because a lot of my leaders, that's us, hello, when you go and pray for your children, you're always on their side. You're not on my side. I said, Mila, you're supposed to be always on my side, not on your children's side. When you come, Lord, he's really good. Just save him, Lord, because I love him, Lord. God says, Okay, when are you asking me to do something I already made a decision on? It is not my will that anyone should perish. I already made up my mind. I already asked you that they will repent. So when you come before me and say, Lord, my son is walking out of rebellion. He's just going to church, but he's not really hot. He's lukewarm. You understand? But we don't want to say that to our children, right? Because they're really good. They're our babies, you know, God says, I want you to be on my side. I want you to come in repentance for them. That then because I already made up my mind to save them, then you need to pray that they repent. Because you see, God says, that's why sometimes their children are not, you know, go into this crisis because when they come before the court, they're not praying right. So when we pray today, we're going to pray, Lord, I want you to bring repentance to my family and my neighborhood. Start with me. Amen? So we need to show up. So Valley Community Women Church, we need to show up. If you think you're not a prayer warrior, it's okay. God says, I have given you an anointing on your footprints. The land that you step on, every land that the sole of your foot shall step on, I've given you the anointing, the title deed, that you can claim it. You understand? So God says, just show up. You might just be the amen crowd, hallelujah. You might be just the one that's going to show up. And when you show up, the formation of the heavenlies is going to change. Because another general has come in. And all the demonic forces are going to be on their toes. Oh my goodness, there's somebody that is a good agreeer. She's going to be a good amen. And I want you to send more ammunition. You understand me? I'm telling you, just showing up in a prayer meeting. Don't say, well, I'm not a prayer warrior. I don't need to be there. Oh, I have something better to do. You better, when it's prayer time, you better not have anything better to do. You better show up. Because when you show up, there's an anointing of showing up. You know, I've seen this to those of you who are working, and you have stepped on that land every morning. Lord, I bring your presence here, and I am telling you, and they're going to fire you, and it's not time yet, Father God. In Jesus' name, the title deed is on mine, because my footprint is on this land. Nobody can fire me until you're done. You understand me? That's what I do, my million-dollar contracts. I said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I have stepped on that land. That's mine. And you know what? Before they even go to the boardroom meeting, they already know who won. You don't have to speak. You don't have to say anything. And Father God, my job is not done yet. And the enemy is not going to kick me out of this. I have a purpose. I'm praying to the patient. I am leading people to the Lord. And this is my land. Anyway, you know, I share this. Some of the things I'm going to be sharing, anyway, it's stay on tape. There's a lot of things, you know, there's But the Lord showed me a vision one day about Abraham. God says, Abraham left footprints of anointing in the land of Israel. Because when God told him, to your descendants, I give you this land. And the Bible says that Abraham sojourned. That means he walked in the width and the breadth of that land. And the Lord showed to me, the way the contour or the topography of the land of Israel was exactly according to the footprints of Abraham. When there is a curve there, when there is a straight there, when there is a round there, it's because he walked that land. I am telling you, when you walk in your neighborhood and in your family's place, I'm telling you, your footprint is there. And I'm telling you, when I show up, and I show up to my brothers, my sisters, I volunteer to clean their house, hallelujah. You know, I didn't know how to witness, but I know how to clean house. Not really, but I pretend. And so I clean, you know, I clean their bathrooms. I say, Lord, when they sit down here, they're going to feel the presence of the Lord. And I go to their bedroom, Lord, when they go to sleep, you're going to bring them some dreams about you. And I clean, I throw away things, you know, and I accidentally break things too. And I said, oh, sorry, it's broken. Oh, sorry, I threw it away. I thought it was trash. And my sisters just smiled. They knew that I did it intentionally, too. But it's a bit, well, they're doing it. I'm doing it for free. I'm cleaning the house for free. Hallelujah. So by the time I'm done, hallelujah, I am telling you, I can feel the presence of the Lord. All my sisters are born again. But I volunteer because I believe without me talking, I have a footprint. That's why our pastors need us when we show up. That's why when we go to our neighborhood and our homes, we're taking the gospel, what we heard from the church, to to bring it to our home. You see what happens here? You know what it is? That's planning 101. The Madison technique, I'm telling you, is not good enough. When you understand the anointing of our footprints, I'm telling you that churches will expand, our churches will explode, and we are going to see the overflow that God has promised us. Amen? And so, when we show up, we need to be sure that we are going to free the unemployed. The Bible says that, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obeys his word. You know what happened? The Lord showed me an explanation in my spirit. There's a lot of angels, you know, waiting and just waiting, folding their hands, walking around. I said, what happened to you? Oh, I'm unemployed for a long time. I'm in charge with this young lady's house here, and I'm telling you, I've been waiting for an order for a long time. But she goes to that, what they call prayer, for 2 hours, but she never tells me an order. Because all the 2 hours is crying, Lord, my boss this, Lord, our president, Lord, my husband, complaining. God says, I do not want a newscaster, I want a partner. And then all of a sudden you mention the word, hallelujah, Lord, you said, salvation will come to my household. And the angel says, oh my goodness, I'm now employed. I now have an order, I gotta go now. You see what I'm saying? And we see all these angels sitting down, waiting for an order because our prayer is all complaining. You understand? But when you understand what prayer is, you know when I pray, hallelujah, the Lord tells me. That's why when people say, pray for me, I always wait. Because I ask the Lord, Lord, give me an instruction. When he gives you an instruction, remember now, revelation is breakthrough. Your spirit can have idea, but your spirit, your soul can have idea, but your spirit can have a revelation. And when your spirit have a revelation, it's time to break through. Because when the Lord promised you that, doesn't matter what is the news, doesn't matter what you see, it is already done. Oh, hallelujah. Anyway, I love prayer. Hallelujah. So the Lord told me, Mila, just be royal, and the enemy will bow. Anyway, when you go home tonight, you're going to understand what that means. Okay, so we're going to talk about high-stake negotiation. I want to go back to that a little bit. Because when we negotiate, guys, we are not negotiating in the lower courts of the world. They will say no to us all the time, but God says it's time for you to bring your case to the higher court. Oh, hallelujah. When you go to the higher court, there is a new language. I want to share with you a little bit that, you know, when I pray, the Lord shows me. You know, I told the Lord, Lord, I want you to number one, you need to back up, you know, whatever you put in my heart with scriptures. And he goes, said, I want to be sure, Lord, that it's backed up by scriptures. And I also want you to let me see in the imagination of my spirit. And now I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I want you to give me dreams. I do dream, but now the Lord is giving me successive dreams. I cannot share with you right now. But let me tell you something. But when the Lord is going, to, when you, God knows you're serious, he's going to infiltrate you to the core of your being. He's going to show you in the supernatural. He's going to show you, you know, the negotiation that happens in the courtroom of heaven. He's going to show you that the angels in the courtroom are moving and there is a verdict that is given. And I am telling you, when the verdict is given, you can see, you know it's in your favor. And then you do not have to talk anymore. You just have to have a grin in your face because you have inside information. But this scripture here in the book of Matthew, when Jesus said, and in the book of Luke, when people were so excited that, you know, even the demons, hello, by the way, when you preach the gospel, it is a package deal. Healing and deliverance is going to happen. And deliverance is not necessarily all this, you know. And I always tell people, I said, I don't know why people talk to the spirit. You know, they're lying anyway, so why do you want a conversation? I don't want a conversation. I just want him to obey. You understand me? Each one of us today, when we go to prayer, we can command the enemy to get out of our lives. We can command the enemy, this stronghold in my life is going to have a breakthrough because it's going to penetrate the stronghold that is in opposition in my prosperity, in my health, in my marriages, in my next generation, in my calling, in my ministry. In the name of Jesus, it is broken. Yes? This is exciting. And so all of a sudden, I'm telling you, when we become and understand this power in prayer, you're going to walk in. Don't you guys feel so good when you're sitting down in a boardroom meeting? And I know that I'm royal. This is so cute. I said, if they only know that who's sitting down here is a child of the king. So when they tell me to mop the floor, it doesn't matter to me. I said, if they only know that the one who's mopping the floor is royalty. You understand me? And none of us will ever be insecure to have the lowest job in the church. It doesn't matter whether I'm going to be putting flowers on the table. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm going to sit in the corner, because you're still royal. It doesn't change. You're royal. This is awesome. This is what prayer is. You understand? If today you're having problems with your husband or your partnership or whatever, and they do not treat you, they do not honor you, hallelujah, God says, that's why I want you to rise up and be royal. Oh, hallelujah. Anyway, so Jesus was telling them, I know you're excited that the demons are subject to you, but listen, go back to the main issue. It's souls, souls, souls. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, we can... Hallelujah. You know what? When you decide to be interceding for souls, God is going to give you time, small time, to ask for things. Lord, I thank you for open door. Amen. Lord, I thank you. You know, my husband, well, I'm going to tell on him again. I like to spend his money, you know. I just wanted to marry a doctor, spend all his money, and sip tea. That's what I said all the time. So, but God is not giving me sip tea. I'm working, you know. So, anyway, I have hundreds of nieces and nephews, and I buy them gifts, all of them, for Christmas, right? And so he told me, Han, I think your budget already went over. That's what he told me. Already? When I go by, I don't count. And until now, I don't want to be asked where I spent it, because I think it's a waste of time counting where you spend your money. I mean, really? I said, darling, we can just make more money. And never mind what we spend, because it's a waste of time. You know, him and I don't, I see and I do the right. So anyway, he told me, this is already over your budget. So I said, Lord, pray. I said, Lord, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey. But Lord, you know, I'm not done shopping yet. That's what I said. And I said, amen. So, you know, the next morning I went to work in one of my contract hospitals. And I kid you not, this is so crazy. He's never given me a bonus that way. I have an envelope. He says, Mila, I have a check for you. I'm going to give you a bonus, your company a bonus, but this one is for you personally. And in the envelope it says, for your shopping. That is so crazy. $7,000. That is so crazy. I said, Lord, thank you. You know, and the Lord told me, just keep travailing for souls. And I will take care of your things. Anyway, I went home and I said, Han. I said, I have an envelope. It says for shopping. Remember me? And so my husband says, can I have a share? But, you know, I'm just giving an example. Hallelujah. Because, you know, when God asks us to pray, God wants us to show signs and wonders. It comes with the preaching of the gospel. Signs and wonders will come, the preaching of the gospel. The metanoia power of behold all things becomes new. That's the power of the gospel. I expect that when I lead somebody to the Lord. I expect that their lives are going to change, their language is going to change, their atmosphere is going to change, because that's the power of the gospel. This is important. But we are not working for signs and wonders, because Egypt had all the signs and wonders, and Egypt did not have a revival. Egypt had a hardening of heart and a total rebellion against God. So don't depend on signs and wonders. Depend on souls being birthed into the kingdom of God. This is true. Hallelujah. Anyway, tell me when my time is done, but I'm going to be talking. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about the altar of exchange. You know what? That was an introduction, by the way. I always give a long introduction. That's why I always say, Lord, Lord, we only have 30 minutes, okay? We only have 1 hour, so you better get your act together so I can. Anyway, and God says, if you do not talk a lot of fluffs, you're going to be on time. Hallelujah. Okay, so altar of exchange. This whole thing we're going to do and finish this in the next 2 weeks, whatever time we have, is we're going to be talking and understanding the altar of exchange. Very important. Prayer is the altar of exchange. Very important. It is the altar where you go in, as I said, that you're going to transfer your limitation. You're going to transfer your sins. You're going to unload so you can get out and get something back. You guys understand this? But you need to leave something. You need to leave your stress, huh? Your fear, and God's going to give you peace. God's going to give you victory. Isn't it amazing? It has to be an exchange. There has to be an exchange where you go, Father, I thank you for salvation of my sisters and my brothers and my nieces and my nephews. And God is going to ask you, are you going to have the endurance and patience that you're going to love them? And I will do the changing. You know, because the first thing we want to do is we want to change him. Change your clothing. That dress is too short. God says, who cares? That's my job. You just love them. You understand me? That's why sometimes the witnessing doesn't get through, because we are so busy making them look good so we can look good. You understand? And the Lord really changed me in that one. Do you want them to be saved so you can look good, or do you want them to be saved because for me? We need to, because he gave up his life. Because he paid the price for this. And because he poured his blood for you and me and for them. That's why we want them saved. Not so we can have a big ministry, so we can have a name that we led them to the Lord. By the way, witnessing, those of you who are saying that you are not good in witnessing, yes, you are. Some of you have planted a seed. Some of you said, hello, how are you? That is watering them. And somebody like me, God gives me the easiest job to pick the lowest fruit because it's ready for picking. And I lead them to the Lord. And everybody says, whoa, you're such an evangelist. And the Lord reminded me, Mila, somebody travailed for this soul. Somebody prayed for this soul. Somebody witnessed this soul. You are just doing the easiest job. So we are all witnessing. Amen? When I spoke to the 21-year-old in the hospital with dying of AIDS, the Lord told me, I want you to drop what you're doing, and I want you to go to the hospital. And I walked straight, and I knew the assignment of the Lord. I walked into that room, and it was AIDS was such a taboo at the time. You know, I had to, of course, wear my gown and everything. And I sat down by his bed. And he cannot believe that I sat down in his bed. And I talked to him about the Lord. And he says, you know, I have a song that I love to hear. Jesus loves me. Can you sing that to me? This young man left somewhere from the East Coast and came here to see Hollywood. And his lifestyle transformed. And now he's dying. I didn't know that that night he was going to pass on. And I led him to the Lord, prayed, sang them, Jesus loves me. I was the infection control nurse at that time, so I was high access to all my patients. And I walk out of the place, and the Lord says, read the chart. And I read the chart, and I look at the name of the mother there that is the next of kin. And she was from New York, so I called. And I says, Mrs., you know, this is not her name, Mrs. Smith, I just want to let you know that I led your son to the Lord today. And she just cried and travailed like a mother has cried for years. And I said, I've been praying for this. But you see, there was already a mother praying. I just happened to come in. So all of us are soul winners. The church today needs to be called together to do this work that God has asked our pastor to do in this neighborhood, in this Valley Community Church. God has called you. Never mind our position. Never mind, you know, what we're going to do. But God says, participate with what I'm going to be doing. So there's going to be an exchange. There's going to be also a transaction that's no longer is going to change. We're not just going to go there to transact business with the Lord. Guys, I give you some references. You know, transaction. God, I want this, 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 and I want you, and amen, goodbye. Wait a minute, what about me? I don't get to talk. That prayer has to change. Because the most important person in this whole dynamic is him. He knows your need before you even speak. And he has the answer. And so the Lord is saying, Mila, let me speak. I'm the king, and I want to change you. I want to pour refreshing on you. Because those of you who haven't heard, Judas stayed 3 years with Jesus Christ, and he was not transformed. Because he was busy transacting instead of being transformed. You understand? He was so busy about social gospel, the poor, the poor, the poor. You know, our ministry, We have, you know, in fact, you know, maybe we could bring the women. You know, we go to these other nations, we feed the poor, you know, send them to school, you know, I mean, just do a lot of things. And the Lord always reminds me, Mila, the main thing is the main thing. It's not the social gospel. It's the gospel that sets men and women from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Because we can get stuck being good and being performers and not do really what God wants us to do. And then we're going to talk about breakthrough. Breakthrough, everybody say breakthrough. Hallelujah. This is the penetration. Breakthrough is a military word that penetrates the stronghold of the enemy. Any opposition right now in your economics, in your finances, in your marriages, in your relationship with your in-laws, your anything opposition right now against your health, the Lord is saying to us today, when we understand this prayer, we're going to understand breakthrough. God is going to bring order. You understand? Order from your mind, everything, order. All this confusion, God is going to remove because he's going to bring order. I'm telling you, that is what we call breakthrough. This is important. So those of you who are going through menopause, whatever that is, hallelujah, I'm telling you, my husband told me, "Hun, you're going through menopause." I said, "Yeah," because I was going through this. Lord, I don't know, hun, I feel like somebody's dropping me in the well. I feel like I cry all the time. But the Lord shifted it to an intercession for me. He was driving already, going to, you know, clinic, and he drove back. And he said, "Han, you're going through menopause." I said, "That's a good news." It's crazy. Anyway, then you know, we knew how to pray. This is awesome. Anyway, let's go. And then we are going to go and understand cleansing and refreshing. Prayer is cleansing and refreshing. The Old Testament priests, you know, they always go into washing of the word. That's why you need to fall in love with your word. If you haven't read the Bible through, you need to read it again. And if you have read it already, read it again. Because every time you read it and over, there's a new revelation. It's a washing deeper into the ocean of the Word of the Living God. That's why prayer warriors, hello, dive into the Word. Because I worry when you're a prayer warrior and you do not bring a portfolio of it is written, you're dangerous. I worry about people saying, "Oh, I want to pray." I say, "What word are you standing on?" That's why, you know, when I see prayer requests, I always take time. I say, "Lord, show me. I want to have a foundation that I can stand before the courts that cannot be refuted by the enemy." Hello. And when you have that, you're dangerous. I'm telling you, dangerous. So then we're going to talk about divine interception and intervention. Now, we're not going to be probably touching on that, but I just want to let you know that as a prayer warrior, God is going to show you what is divine intervention and divine interception. And you know what it is? It's understanding the gift and the sacrifice before you go to the altar. No one will come before me empty-handed. Prayer warriors are givers. I used to count my coins, and then I counted my $20 bills, and now I'm counting $100 bills. I'm telling you, just plant seeds. I'm telling you, this is awesome. God keep telling me, "Mila, plant seeds. Just keep planting." In my season, when I am going through dry spell, God says, "It's time for you to plant seed and expect 100-fold return." Hallelujah. Guys, I'm telling you, when you become prayer warriors, that's why it's so beautiful to have a program to teach prayer, because we release givers. You know who are givers? Kings. Because the wise men, you know, they were not three kings. That postcard is not telling the truth. You know, they have three gifts, but there were a lot of, hallelujah, wise men. They came to Jesus Christ, and they gave him homage to the king. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You and I cannot enter the presence of the king without something we're going to give. I just said, "I give you my life." Excuse me? That's not yours. He bought it, remember? He owns it. So stop giving your life. It's his already. You give him something from the work of your hands. I challenge each one of you today, because God showed this to me in prayer. In prayer, God says, "I'm going to break through into their finances." You understand this? I challenge you to be a giver today. But understand that when you give, you are not going to be presumptuous that you can enter in by yourself. Listen to me. There has to be a priest and a sacrifice every time you have a covenant. You understand me? Every time you want to make a covenant with a king, there's always, always a high priest. That's why when we give our offering to the church, we ask Jesus our high priest. That's why we have 100-fold return. We give this to you because we cannot be presumptuous to think that we can go directly to the Father. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's why we cannot have the one world government take over this nation, because they're going to ask you and me not to mention the name of Jesus ever again. That's the only power and access we have when we pray. Hallelujah. I mean, you know what? There's a lot of you here today that's going to start seeing a sevenfold return of what Satan has stolen from you. One of that is your rest. God showed me there's a lot of ladies that's not sleeping right. There is no deep sleep. There is no Sabbath rest. God is going to give it back to you. And God is going to cause you to dream again. God says, I am going to give back what this enemy has stolen, but sevenfold. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand there when the time is up. Hallelujah. So, prayer and prophetic declaration. Okay? Prophetic prayer declaration. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The book of Revelation is not supposed to, you and I are going to shake about the pre-mid, whatever, you know, rapture, before or after, doesn't matter. It is a story about Jesus Christ. If you and I today are being shaken when we read the book of Revelation and not infiltrating on what the name of Jesus Christ, then we are missing wrong. We are reading wrong. Because every time you read the word, you're reading the prophecy of Jesus Christ. Because he is the Amen. He is the beginning, the Alpha, and the Omega. Every time you speak the word, you're releasing the story of Jesus Christ. It is done, it is done, it is done. It is finished. So he's saying that the spirit of prophecy, when you pray, hallelujah, is going to say, before I formed you from the womb, I already knew you. Every single one of you. It doesn't matter whether there's going to be a legitimate or illegitimate. You know what? There's no illegitimate children. There are illegitimate parents. But every child that comes and touches the womb becomes God's property. You understand this? That's hands off. This is important for us to understand this, because when God has birthed women, creation has ended, right? But creation continues in your womb. Women? Yes, creation has ended, but the creation of the image of God continues in the womb of a woman. And so it's important that from the womb, God says, I called you to be a prophet. I'm saying, oh no, I'm not the prophet. Guys, every single one of us, when we pray, we have a prophetic anointing. Because here in the book of Jeremiah, and the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. What words? The word of God. Every time we speak the word of God, we speak prophecy. And it says, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I have appointed you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. What does that mean? Jeremiah did not go to war. Right? You did not go to war. But when we pray, we go to war. We are going to command in the name of Jesus. You know, when you know, the right to cry bill came, I was praying, and I already heard in the news 25 times, you know, the House said, no, we don't want to hear it. And I felt in my heart, the Lord steered in my heart, spirit, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to come to pass. I said, Father, every time they say no, I pray that this persons and this group that say no to the right to cry will be silenced for the next decade of 50 years. And you're going to start seeing it. Because they said no to the cry of the creation of God in the womb. And the Lord says, prophesy, Mila, prophesy. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, that there will be silence from decades after decades after decades. And it is going to come to pass. In the name of Jesus. So when we pray, hallelujah, we are releasing the spirit of prophecy. So we can say this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his hello will, he hears us. And because he hears us, you know why that is very powerful? Because when he hears us, there is an agreement. Woo! Any two shall agree. That's why that's powerful. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, shoo, he hears. Because the angels not only hear, but he also hears his word. It is his rhythm. It is his vibration. It is the heartbeat of his heart. And so the minute you speak the word in prophecy, hallelujah, he hears you, agreement. And because he hears you, we shall have the petition. we ask. You see how easy prayer is? That is awesome. And your children today that you're worried about what's going to happen to them, there is right now in the name of Jesus, a luring of the television, a luring of all this media in the name of Jesus, their taste buds is going to change. Those of you who are worried where your next generation is going, in Jesus' name, God is going to bring refreshing and washing their minds in the name of Jesus, that they are going to change in their taste buds, that they are going to run after the things of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then God is saying to you, and because you know why it's important that you go to court? Because here in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before the Lord day and night. You know why you need to pray? Because somebody is busy accusing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's called Lucifer, the one who knows how to bring a judicial case against you, the one who knows how to bring a legal case against God's people, the one who knows the jurisprudence and all the activities of the courts, because that's where he came from. Peter, Satan wants to bring you to court. God is saying to us today, don't be afraid of the court, because you know the language of the court, you know the order of the court. You see, you come in and you have a mediator, Jesus Christ. You have the blood of the Lamb who is going to be a witness on your behalf. There is a Holy Spirit who is going to tell you what article, what page, what verse. By the way, God did not put those numbers there. You know, understand that? But the Holy Spirit is going to remind you where it is. The Holy Spirit is going to bring you and open the Constitution and say, that is your right. That is your birthright. That is your inheritance. There's in 1 Peter. There's in Matthew. There in the book of Luke. And we go before the court. Hallelujah. The language of the court, the order of the court. No wonder you're going to win the case. So you guys are excited praying again? We're going to do this. Okay, I'm going to close with this. You know, those of you, you know, these are two tapes that we're taping. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. We need to talk about that God has called us to be kingdom of priests. You see, we have fivefold ministry. One body, one spirit, one baptism, one God, right? All of us are in unison about that. But there are fivefold ministry. There are going to be teachers, preachers, prophets, evangelists. But there is one calling that God has called. I want for me. You are going to talk to the church. You're going to build them up. You're going to bring them to maturity. But I have called you for me. You understand this? All of us cannot be teachers, preachers, prophets, evangelists. But all of us are called to be royal priesthood. Okay, let's jump. Let's go to his treasured possession. In the book of Exodus 19, verse 5 to 6, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of the nations you will be my treasured possession. Can you imagine being in the treasured box of the Lord? Can you imagine that God says, all the world is mine, the whole world is mine, but I don't want silver and gold of the world. I want you to be kingdom of priests unto me. You're going to be a king to serve me. You see, you're going to rule on your knees as a priest. You know what that means? Royal priesthood. You're going to rule on your knees. You're going to serve as kings, but you're going to rule as priests. And what does that mean? In other words, the one who prays is the one who wins. The one who comes before the throne, hello, listen, the audience may applaud you. You know, people may love what you're doing. Yes, we need to do that because God wants us to obey and bring our works. But listen to me. The one who moves the south and the north and the east and the west is the one who comes as a king on their knees to the Lord. We do more things in closed door, you know, negotiation than when you and I are before the audience of the world. To an audience of one, we're going to do great things. This is important. It's very important. So God says, I have called you to be a kingdom of priests. In the 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare his praises with him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So in other words, as kings and priests of the Lord, we are going to watch our tongue. Prayer warriors, I'm telling you, you're going to be dislodged. I'm telling you, by the words of your mouth. You just pray, and then you leave that prayer room and say, oh, I am sick. Oh, I don't know what's happening to my son. I thought you just prayed about your son's deliverance. I thought you just prayed for your marriage healing. So why is it now when you come out of the throne room, because Satan is looking for somebody who's going to be an agreeer, because agreement is not just limited to the kingdom of light. It's also for the kingdom of darkness. Satan has been looking for, all over the world, looking for somebody on earth to agree with what he wants to happen on earth. That's why you and I, as prayer warriors, we cannot have negative words. May it be joking. I'm telling you, oh, that's boring. We're going to have fun. Yes, you're going to have fun, but you need to watch that you're not going to speak against the word of God. So having said that, I'm going to say what the Lord has been saying to me the last few nights. The Lord spoke to me that I am going to break the stronghold of the enemy in their lives. There are people in this church that you're going to be ministering to who have not been sleeping right. Satan disturbs their rest. If that is you, God is going to break it tonight. Amen? Because God wants you to have vision. God wants you to have dreams. God is also saying to me that I am going to address the female issues. What is that? There are some violations in your youth. There are some sickness and diseases that you cannot share because of contamination. Or maybe, you know, your neighbor, or maybe your family member, because of a rebellious lifestyle. And there are scars that has left of female issues. And God is saying, I'm going to bring refreshing and healing. It's coming. I believe that. And there is also a violation in your mind, because honor has been broken from you being a woman. The Lord says, I'm going to address that too. Because today, God is bringing us women in Valley Community Church, as women who are whole, women who have set forth a breakthrough, a deliverance from the throne of the King to kick out the stronghold of the evil one in our lives. And God has also said to me in my heart, and I'm going to read it right now, before I'm going to speak about it. There is a scripture that the Lord says, I want you to read it over the women today, that I am going to speak the never again. Can we bring the never again? Never again. I want you guys to read it, but agree that in your heart. Never again in the book of Isaiah 65, verse 20 to 23. There is an onslaught that the enemy has set into motion in this neighborhood. In the ministry, most of the ministry that is being attacked, because, you know, as I told you, that, you know, the enemy prays, you know, five times a day, talking against the destruction of the marriage of Christian leaders and the destruction of the children of the Christian leaders. And this is an attack that the enemy has been trying to steal the covering, the men, the relationship, the husbands. Widowhood has come in. The enemy says, listen to me, we're going to put a stop. That is not, we are drawing the line. It's not going to happen again. The enemy has been busy wanting to take away men from the homes. No more fathers, no more husbands. But God is saying to us, I want you to put a stop. I want you to declare that the stronghold of the enemy shall be broken. This is very important, because there are men in this church, or even in our family and in our neighborhood, that the enemy is attacking the covering, the men in the household. We don't want our women to be widowed and alone. You understand? This is very important. The Lord says, I want you to stop it. This is important. That alcoholic syndrome that has happened with my brother, that stopped. That generation, that was the last generation. And because we can stop it. And so today we are going to pray, and I'm going to read to you, never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man that who does not live out his years. An infant, any abortion, or any youth that is going to be shortened their life, we're going to put a stop in the name of Jesus. We oppose and we overrule in Jesus' name. And he says, the one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. Because the thief, the stealing, the killing, and destroying is going to cease today. They will build houses and dwell in them, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruits. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. No longer are you going to start a business that somebody is going to take over. No longer are you going to have houses and be removed from bankruptcy. God is saying it's going to be stopped in the name of Jesus. That record of the past is over, and the Women in Valley Community Church is going to draw a line. Enough is enough. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And then God is saying, says, because they will build houses, they will dwell in them. They are the days of a tree, so will the days of my people be. My chosen one will long enjoy the work of their hands. Those of you who are working today who need promotion, in the name of Jesus, receive it. Those of you who want to start new businesses, hallelujah, receive it. Oh, hallelujah. And he says, they will not labor in vain, for they will bear children doomed for misfortune. Hallelujah. No longer are we going to have children who's going to have misfortune. Because the children of the righteous shall be delivered, and they shall be established. For they will be people blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. So, having received that blessing, we need to also release some things that we need to release. I'm going to tell you, we need to start changing what we watch. The Lord showed that to me. You need to remove everything in your home that does not represent Him. You know, in discipleship, I always, when we had discipleship, 2 years discipleship, we visit their homes. I said, throw this away, this one, no, broken. Because if you want to walk with the Lord, you need to clean up your place. The movies that you watch, I'm speaking right now, because God wants to bring a refreshing wind, and if this wind will stay. But if you're not going to remove that accursed thing, that is only going to be a season. We need to be serious about this, very important. The healing that you have been waiting for, God says there's something that you need to be broken from, a covenant you have made that God did not ask you to make. So there are things that we need to do, and because, you know, one of those things is that we need to understand that there are some things in our minds that need to be broken. You know, I'm confessing to you as a new Christian, you know, I started really just, you know, diving into prayer, but the Lord just told me, Mila, you have some prejudice in your heart. Because prayer will transform you. And so I read the scripture, and I said, Lord, you really loved Israel. You really love Israel. That's your favorite, you know? And the Lord says, but you need to love what I love. And I want to speak to all of us today. It's not political, but if you want to have a breakthrough in your prayer, we need to learn how to love what God loves. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I will bless you. As long as I'm going to last, I'm going to live, God says, Israel will never cease to be a nation. Our prayer life has to be determined that we are going to protect and to love what God loves. Very important. God says, I will bless them who will bless you, and I will curse them who will curse you, he promised Abraham. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and may you prosper. I am telling you, some of us, sometimes we need to check every corner of our prayer life that everything is checked, so there is no more going to be postponement of the promise. So I ask you today, and we're going to be discussing as we meet in the next few weeks, that we are going to remove some of the strongholds that need to be removed, the exchange, okay? And the Lord really showed me, I want you to remove that prejudice in your life. And I bow before the Lord, I want you to wash me. Because of my upbringing, you know, they just make fun, you know, fun of the Jews. And, you know, when I dived into my walk with the Lord gave me such a love, you know. And that's why we, part of our ministry is helping, you know, refugees from Russia to go back to Israel. Because we want to participate, you know, in those things. And let me tell you something. If you and I today will stand for anyone, for any organization, for any person that is planning the destruction of Israel and dividing the land of Israel, and God is saying to you and me, we are going to stand at the court and we are out of order. Because Jesus did not change his human identity. The lion of the tribe of Judah is still sitting on the throne. He's still a Jew. And the 12 gates of heaven is named after the disciples there choose. And if you and I go into that court and we cannot love what God loves, and God's saying to you and me, you're out of order in your prayer life, we need to be removed from that so we can have breakthrough in the prayers that God, you know, has asked us to pray. So I am going to speak this blessing towards you today. Because God has put in my heart, I want you to release this blessing to them. Bless, bless, bless. When God says, I will bless you, it is says, bless, 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 doesn't stop. And if that's going to be set into motion tonight for you, and you want that never to stop, then we need to align according to the word. So today I release blessing to you. May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heavens and earth. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all of your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. And may the Lord grant all your requests. You guys should say amen.
Amen.
And then blessed is the man, blessed are you because you fear the Lord. You delight greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed, your children, and wealth and riches. Give yourself permission to be wealthy. I'm saying that again. I want you to give yourself permission to be wealthy. Because God wants to use you to fund, participate in the end time harvest. The generation of the upright will be blessed, wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, Terry.